Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dukes and Bell back at it again. Arthur Smith, part of our interview with him coming up. Part one and then part two at the five in the 5 o'clock hour as he sat down with us yesterday. A lot of people hitting me up, Mike, talking about Arthur and, you know, just his blatant honesty. If you're paying attention, he doesn't beat around the bush, and he kind of tells you what's what, and that's kind of who he is. People were laughing at the part where he talked about, you know, the videos these NFL teams put out that make it seem like every pick is a hit. And it's funny because you always wonder, like, behind the scenes what's really going on. And every team, you know, has that video. Oh, great pick. Woo! High five and everybody. Yeah, great pick.
Arthur's take basically is all the stuff that goes on, this is how the sausage gets made. And all you see is everybody high-fiving and the owner. And now, and Jerry comes over. He's hugging his son. And Mike McCarthy, he waddles over from the buffet. Great pick there, boss. The way it works.
Not everybody feels that way. He's right. There is some fakeness to that. But you'll hear part one of the interview coming up here in less than 15 minutes. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
All right. First of all, before we get into anything dog related, man, how are you, Connor? We know you got into an accident a few weeks back. How are you feeling? And I know it was traumatic, but we're so glad that you're good and healthy and that you came out okay after seeing those pictures, man.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I'm getting some help, and I really appreciate the kind words and the space you guys have given me. This is always a highlight, and I'm so thrilled that I get to continue to do this and just trying to string good days together, and we're getting better and better at doing that. So thanks for the kind words, and thanks again for letting me come on and at least do things that were normal before the accident. So I really appreciate that, Carl and Mike.
Yeah, it was a real bad wreck with an 18-wheeler, guys, for guys who missed the story when it broke down. Hey, man, the SEC going up to D.C. is something they do all the time. We talked about this yesterday. It's, an annual sojourn to work on their local congressman or whatever, trying to lobby. I don't think Congress, they have a little more bigger fish to fry that they're not frying right now when it comes to NIL. Will we ever get anything on the national level, I mean, federal legislation? Because California has got some legislation in the hopper, which could really turn over the apple cart.
I'd be really, really surprised if we ever see any national sort of legislation on this. The reality is, like, the NCAA, through now multiple leaderships, Charlie Baker now making his first sort of sojourn up there to D.C., this has been something they've been trying to get done for a while now, and this might just be personal opinion. I'm just very skeptical that it's ever going to happen and come together that way. We'll ultimately see if something changes, but I mean, I don't, and this isn't a political statement in any sort of fashion, but I don't know how you look at the way things are going with Congress in general over the last decade or so and think they're going to come together and agree on something like something of this, you know, triviality, right, so to speak. And so, you know, I know Sankey has floated, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, has maybe floated the idea of at least trying to get, say, the SEC states to get all their sort of state laws and the universities working within their own states to at least have a level playing field in that aspect. These schools, these conferences, they want to have the same level playing field, but the reality is, like, there are just bigger fish, as you point out, Mike, to not be fried by Congress to expect to see a national NIL sort of legislation get introduced.
Connor, I know you wrote a piece about Carson Beck. He's not won the starting job yet, but you're saying that a lot of draft analysts are raving about him. Why? What's the deal with Carson Beck? What's going on?
I think when you, and again, this is perusing mostly, you know, backup action against Vanderbilt, a spring game here or there, some time against TCU's backups in the national championship game. But he's got a lot of interesting traits, really good size, 6'4", 215. You know, he's not a dynamic athlete, I would say, but he, it'll get lost. He's not a bad athlete either. I think a fair comparison to him is think of the way like Joe Burrow uses his athleticism. It is functional enough for him to make plays with his legs, to see him scramble for 6-7 yards and pick up a big first down if need be. And he's got a really talented arm. There were some really impressive throws in the, again, limited action sample size that we've seen from him so far. But I think if you project out the weapons that he's going to be able to play with this year, with the line that he's going to be playing behind, it wouldn't come as a big shock to see him have a really big season. You know, Brock Bowers is back. Georgia has, in my opinion, the best offensive line in college football coming back. Ladd McConkey and Dominic Leavitt are going to be NFL-level wide receivers. And with some questions about the Georgia running game, I would expect them to lean on Carson Beck and see what he can do. So assuming he wins the job, which is the assumption that I am working under, I think he's going to be the starter. If he plays up to some of the things that we've already seen him do, along with some of the pieces around him, you're going to see him have, I think, a really big season. And that in turn, because of sort of the weight that he's had to have, could lead to some early NFL draft buzz. Now, I would, the one thing that I would caution against, the list of quarterbacks that went in the first round that have 16 or fewer starts, I believe off the top of my head, it is Mitch Trubisky, Cam Newton, Anthony Richardson, and Mark Sanchez. That's not a great sample size to be working from. And again, he still has to formally win the job and keep the job. But there's a lot of reason to be excited about what Carson Beck could possibly bring to the table.
We talked about this the other day with some of the preseason rankings and some of the guys, some national figurehead was bloviating about the quarterback situation. I mean, Tyler Buchner, he was a solid piece for Notre Dame before he got injured. He did throw for, I think, 5 touchdowns in a bowl game. But if they wanted him, I mean, things were there. He wouldn't be at Alabama. And I guess, is he the lead dog, we presume, is going to be the quarterback because they changed coaches? Coaching hires weren't exactly the most compelling. I just wonder why some people want to put Bama over Georgia in some polls.
Yeah, you know, again, Kirk Herbstreit had some really interesting comments last week about Alabama sort of being a hungrier program because they had a down year. I think if you go back and look at some of the comments Kirk Herbstreit had made the year before, they were essentially the same thing. You know, Alabama had lost to Georgia in the national championship game, and therefore they were going to be the hungrier team. And we saw how that played out. They weren't hungry despite having, I think, two of the best players in college football in Bryce Young and Will Anderson. And now they don't have those guys. And the reality is, you know, and look, Kirby's going to have to go out there and show it this third season, but he's hyper aware of, you know, the motivation needed to go through and try and win another national championship. He hit every right note a season ago with that group and saying, you know, this is a group that a lot of guys hadn't proven that they could do this yet. And then they went out there and exactly proved that they could. And going into this season, you heard Kirby Smart right after the national title game, sort of talking about how this team, it's going to be a different sort of challenge for them to get in that right motivational headspace. You've already sort of hear him talk a little bit about luck and how Georgia was fortunate to beat Ohio State and Missouri in one score games last year. And so that might motivate this team, which again, we talked about it throughout the offseason. I think there's a chance that, you know, they may not have the offense be as great as it was last season, but I think when you combine with the improvements made on the defense, along with what they bring back on offense, it might be a more balanced team going into the 2023 season. And the reality is, you know, we talk so much about Georgia and Alabama. You know, they haven't played. They're not scheduled to play this year. If they meet in the SEC championship game, that'll be the first real chance to do it. Georgia's still 1-4 against Alabama with Kirby Smart against Nick Saban. And there are a lot of guys that have heard a lot about Alabama. A lot of these guys were recruited by Alabama. If Georgia gets a chance to play Alabama, they're going to be super motivated to go out there and prove that, yeah, that 2021 national title game, or 2022 national title game, rather, that wasn't a fluke. That was very much what this is, this rivalry, and I'm willing to call it a rivalry just given the big games they've played in. That's what this rivalry is going to be about going forward. You know, as much as Georgia has accomplished in winning the last two national titles, there are very clearly, and I think Kirk Herbstreit is among them, people out there that still give Alabama the benefit of doubt over Georgia. I think if Georgia goes out and makes a statement again this season, I think that flips completely.
We're talking with Connor Riley from Dog Nation, guys. We talk with him each and every week as we talk college football. The renderings of Jacksonville's new stadium, stunning. And listen, I don't know if it's going to look exactly like this, but it's kind of cool to think of what it could look like once all this stuff is updated. And, you know, with Georgia, Florida remaining there, with the updated renderings, is this the long-term answer for Georgia, Florida staying in Jacksonville?
I think I feel pretty confident saying Florida wants it there long-term. They've made very clear they want to keep that game there long-term. Georgia, there are aspects of them that want it there. There is the financial benefit. And, again, I think the city of Jacksonville, in addition to upgrading the stadium, they're well aware they're going to have to start giving Georgia and Florida more and more money to keep enticing them because Kirby Smart does want that extra home recruiting weekend every 2 years. And with, you know, the SEC figuring out its schedule, if they're going to stick at an eight-game schedule and you're only getting three home games at SEC home games every other year while Alabama, where every other program is getting four, you know, that's a recruiting disadvantage that does add up over the course of time. And so you start to understand and see Kirby Smart's logic there a little bit more. But if Jacksonville's willing to upgrade this stadium, which I would agree with you, Carl, it does look very nice. It looks a lot like SoFi Stadium. Mm. And I will say, as someone who was there, they got to figure out something when it rains, because I was in the stadium that day. It was raining outside in Los Angeles, and I was getting wet, and I was just very confused by it. And there were multiple fans that were as well. But if they figure out that sort of design flaw there, I think if Jacksonville's going to make their stadium look like that, and I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of the current Jacksonville Stadium, and it is much, in my opinion, need of renovations. If Jacksonville's that serious and they do make those level of renovations, you have to imagine they're also going to be very comfortable with giving both Georgia and Florida the money to keep this game in Jacksonville every single season.
It is our man Connor Riley, guys. K. Connor Riley on Twitter. Get the latest from Dog Nation on what's going down. I guess you can't get them all, but win the battle. And I guess people kind of sleeping on Clemson a little bit. They do steal a top linebacker. I did get a kick out of some of Georgia fans going, if he don't want to be in Georgia, the hell with him. But Sammy Brown seems like a class act and did thank all the coaches that had been in the recruiting process, even though he's going to Death Valley.
Yeah, Sammy Brown, five-star linebacker, I believe the number one linebacker in the country, from Jefferson, Georgia, just up the road from from Athens, you know, with teammates with Malachi Starks at Jefferson High School. Look, Dabo Swinney, well, they've gone 21-6 the last 2 years, still the best program in the ACC, but I think a very clear step down from where they were at the end of at the 2010s when they were winning national championships and beating Ohio State or Alabama on some regularity. You know, this is a reminder that, you know, as weird as Dabo might be, as different as some of us might see him through, you know, the eyes that he interacts with the media, he still has a way with certain kids, and they do things very particularly there at Clemson. And with the recruiting week they've had of late, you know, they picked up some big wide receivers as well. They land Sammy Brown. And you know, Clemson, throughout the entire run of Dabo Swinney there, they've always had a tremendous amount of success going into Georgia and being able to recruit that area. Sammy Brown is just the latest example of that. And look, Georgia and Clemson opened the season against each other in 2024, and Georgia's got more games at the end of this decade scheduled against Clemson. While they've still got, I think, a ways to go to get back to that top echelon, and I think they're a program that would really welcome that 12-team playoff this season as opposed to a 4-team playoff, they're a program that is still going to be around and very clearly, I think, still going to try and make things difficult in a way, you know, outside of maybe Alabama, Ohio State, occasionally LSU. Very few programs in the country can do right now on a consistent basis.
Today we were talking about a couple of things college football-wise. Just want to get your opinion on it. First of all, Big Ten unveils its new football model for 2024. Mike and I were talking about some of the scheduling.
I tell you what, some games that I would definitely be tuning in to watch, like a Michigan going to USC, for example, or Ohio State going to UCLA, just two of the games that they've released.
And they have a 9-game schedule, right, Connor? They don't play 8. They play 9, right, which is what we thought the SEC was going to go to, which gets us back to this whole conversation. Is this basically just for 2024 for the SEC?
So, yes, the Big Ten, they do 9 games. They're doing away with divisions. I think that is what ultimately the SEC wants to get to. As it stands right now, the SEC is going to go to an 8-game schedule for the 2024 season. That is the only thing they have on the books. They will be unveiling the opponents next Wednesday, June 14th, in terms of in a primetime special, in terms of who is playing. I'm not certain that they're going to have the dates just yet, but they are unveiling the, you know, who Georgia will be playing in those aspects. They've said that they want to get, you know, a 9-game conference schedule on the books. And Sankey had expressed some optimism at SEC meetings, I guess, 2 weeks ago now, that that was going to get done. But we've been here for 2 years talking about the possibility of a 9-game schedule with Texas and Oklahoma joining the league. And we still don't know when it's going to happen. So I think at this point, I'm starting to get more and more skeptical, even with Texas and Oklahoma joining the league officially next July. I'm still skeptical that we're ultimately going to see a 9-game schedule just because, again, there are a lot of programs out there that are hesitant to go that route. And even you saw in some of the reporting, Nick Saban in Alabama, they voted against the idea of going to a 9-game schedule because their three permanent opponents would be LSU, Tennessee, and Auburn. And Nick Saban, for a long time, who was vocal about going to a 9-game schedule, he now has some reservations about that. And you've got a program like Alabama who has all the talent and all the money advantages in the world. If you have them worried about a 9-game schedule and what that looks like, you're opening the door for lesser programs like a Kentucky, a South Carolina, an Arkansas, so to speak, to go that route and say, hey, like, let's just stick with eight. You know, we do the 1-7 model and we sort of just go that route. And so while publicly they're still expressing the idea of going to a 9-game schedule and the Big Ten unveiling their model certainly doesn't help that aspect. I'm starting to get to the point where until I officially see that they're going to 9 games and it's officially done, I'm going to be a little bit skeptical that we're going to see it just because we've been in this position for so long now.
And it was kind of mixed signals because officially the university, at least the athletic department, Josh Jacobs was for it, if I'm reading it correctly, but Kirby was mm-hmm. But Kirby never used his platform to back it. He said it was a silly right. argument.
Right, yeah. That's classic Kirby there. Again, the understanding that Georgia wants the 9-game schedule in part because, again, if they go to an 8-game schedule and they're doing the 1-7 model where you get one permanent opponent, Georgia's not playing Auburn every year. And look, I'm sorry, but, you know, there are a lot of people that want to see Georgia go visit Texas A&M. If we're sacrificing the Deep South's oldest rivalry for Georgia to go play Texas A&M, Georgia to go play Mississippi State more often, that's just not the college football that I think people want to be enjoying. You know, it becomes a true, in that sense, minor league NFL. And that, I think, satisfies no one who really enjoys this sport.
I agree. Connor Riley, great job, man. We'll talk to you next week. Can't wait to see what the schedules look like. Tell the people where they can follow you.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. Thanks a lot, Mike and Carl.
All right, guys. Coming up, Arthur Smith, part one of what he had to tell us yesterday at Flowery Branches. We're trying to find out as much as we can about our Falcons before we get to camp. We're going to play part two at 5 o'clock, but Arthur Smith sat down with Mike and I. You'll hear it next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are about to sit down and have a deep conversation with the head coach of our Atlanta Falcons, and he's smiling because he knows
that's probably not going to happen. Arthur Smith!
It may be deep for y'all, but it's not going to be deep for me.
We're going to go 60 minutes Roy Firestone on Arthur Smith right now.
Arthur, I really want to know how you feel. We will get into a variety of things. First of all, man, how are you? Yeah. You look good. We saw you draft day. We were here. Oh, actually, the day after.
Right. Yeah.
Bijan was here. And you had a big smile on your face, and you were like, yeah, I'm assuming you feel and felt really good as that thing played out. But that's the last time we saw you. Thank you so much for giving us the hour and hanging out with us here again on Dukes and Bell. But how are you doing? How are things?
I'm doing great. No, it's obviously everybody's super optimistic this time of year. It's kind of comical when you see some of these headlines going around. But I feel great. You know, we've got a good group out here. This is a fun group to work with, and we're excited. I mean, we're that optimism here is real,
right?
Because we've been building this team, and some of the additions we've got in this group right here, it's going to be a fun season.
Yeah, as season ticket holders and fans, we just got a ring. I know it's just shells and helmets, but the team just looks. You got some studs. It looks like you're really added. The first couple of years, you were kind of limited by the cap and what you could do with the roster. It just seems like this team's got a lot of size, a lot of potential physicality.
Absolutely. I mean, we've got a lot of unique personnel packages we can throw at you, you know, offensively and defensively. Right. We feel good about the depth in a lot of spots. And yeah, like I said, it's going to be fun. I mean, we've got a lot of guys that with different skill sets, and we can deploy different personnel groups, and we can get into empty with big personnel groups. And it's not that you've got a bunch of slow people out there and you're just doing it because you think that's, you know, in vogue or whatever. I mean, it's a problem. We can – you know, we should have some good matchups, and we've got guys that can catch and run. We got guys that can get the ball out of the backfield, or they can also split out and are legitimate route runners. So offensively, that's fun. And then you look at defensively, we can a lot of depth up front. We can get a lot of different personnel packages. We got guys that, you know, with Troy and Caden, you know, guys that can pressure the quarterback, but guys that can legitimately run and cover. And then on the back end, feel pretty good about our depth as well.
Is this the new NFL? I've heard a lot this offseason about how you have described what you want to attempt to do with this football.
Right.
We had Drake come in here earlier, and he was talking about this. And, you know, I'm assuming that guys are hearing this because the first thing I think about when I hear positionless football is positionless basketball, where everybody on the floor can handle the ball, shoot, rebound, lead the break. And I'm thinking, can you explain how you view this when you have all these chess pieces on the table? Am I seeing or hearing this correctly?
I think you're seeing a natural evolution. I think you're seeing it in a lot of sports. I mean, I'm watching the NBA Finals, and you see Jokic, like, bring the ball up.
Right.
You know, and you're seeing a lot of young kids. I mean, look at the state of Georgia. I mean, look, this is a football-crazy place. The amount of talent that gets recruited out of here, and it seeps down to the youth level and the coaching here and the development. And sometimes I think people go overboard with the year-round, but that's a – subject for a different day. You can go on that rant if you want me to filibuster there. But in all seriousness, you know, when kids are playing basketball year-round, they're playing in these 7-on-7s, they're more skilled. So the talent level coming into the league, I think, is a little bit different. I mean, you go back and you look at a mid-90s, you know, football game, a guy got played at running back, and he was in the eye. You know, on third down, you go back and look at these things, these guys are taking, you know, under-center drops on third and eight, and they're in the eye formation, or, you know, our strong formation, offset back, two back, stuff like that. And those guys, you know, they just played running back. Maybe they're a little bit in the screen game. Well, you get these 7-on-7 leads. You look at a guy like Bijan, and he did some of it at Texas, but that was a talented group. I mean, he obviously won the Duke Walker, but you go back to, you know, some of his high school 7-on-7 and playing in the slot. So this isn't super foreign for him. And there's a lot of players like Bijan coming in. And you've seen it, and certainly we've done it with Cordell Patterson.
Right.
And then you see the Niners kind of do it with Debo after that. And then when you really go back, we did a lot of it with Janu in Tennessee, you know, some of it, not a ton, but enough where crack toss play he had against Houston and some of the stuff we did in the red zone, him coming out of backfield and the way we deployed him a little bit different. I mean, A.J. Brown, if we had asked A.J. to go play running back, I'm confident he could have done it in the way he can catch and run, and he was also a great baseball player. So I think you're seeing guys that are more skilled. Now you could say, hey, fundamentally, maybe guys aren't as developed as they used to be position specific, but that's what I think you're seeing the trends in sports.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm 100% right. I'm just giving you my theory.
Right.
It is Arthur Smith with us, guys. We're going to have for an hour, man. So we got all sorts of areas we can cover. But we just had Jake Matthews in earlier. We replayed it for the audience. The offensive line, I know you got to plug in your left guard. There's a competition there. But it just seems like you established your personality on this team. We're going to run the football. We're going to be a physical team. And it just seems like this year, all the things you want to do is based on an offensive line. It's maybe the best it's been since you've been here.
Yeah, those guys have done a great job. The growth and the you know, that's a consistency. And that's why, you know, I think – you go back and, you know, go back and look at the history. And there's one thing, going back and listening to Jimmy Johnson, some of the stuff I've read about him, and he talks about how important that O-line coach is and the development in that position. And I think Dwayne Ledford's done a terrific job. And these guys and the way their habits, like, that's a tough room to step into.
Right.
So when, you know, Matt Bergeron or Javon Gwynn come in there and we like the makeup of them, you know, hey, these guys are off and running. Like, we got our development plans for them, but you better catch up. And feel really good about the culture in that room, those guys, and Jake and Chris, you know, their leadership in their own way. So we got to continue to improve, and that's the thing in the NFL, you got to improve every year. And it's not just like, hey, run the ball. We're going to be physical in the protection as well. I mean, you can be a passive pass protector, you can be a physical. We want to be physical in everything we do. So it's not just, hey, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We're trying to get explosives. We're trying to change the launch points, all that stuff.
Let's talk about Desmond Ridder, Coach, because I know you're tired of talking about Desmond Ridder because it's all anybody's talked about this offseason. But it is a big deal, right? I mean, it is the next step. And I think people want to know, specifically Falcon fans, how are we developing him? How are you going about that process of making Des better from year one to year two? We know we only saw 4 starts. But my guess is, and I've said this to our audience, you probably have a much better feel than anybody else in seeing him every day behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going about developing him?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into it, and I'm not going to get into every single nuance, but some of it's just, you know, practical. You know, Des is a guy coming into this league that's had a lot of starts. It's the hardest thing when you're developing quarterback is getting real game reps. And there's been people who've tried, you know, there was the virtual reality trend that went belly up like 8 or 9 years ago. I believe it was at Stanford, and some teams have bought in, and then you go back and look at the teams that bought in, they usually had a somebody was invested in it, was trying to push it, and that didn't really work. But, you know, and people have tried, and you know, how do you develop quarterbacks when there's only so many reps you can get? There's only so many game reps. Well, Des has got a lot of game reps, right, coming into the league, which helps. Now, the NFL is a little bit different in the way we brought him on last year, so he's got 4 starts on him. And it's just your philosophy. You know, this time of year, like, we're trying to push Desmond. You know, with different looks and different things we're challenging on the field to apply it. And then really in the classroom, he's got to take another step. But I think when you step in this role and you got to let him lead in his own way, you know, I think sometimes too many coaches, they've had success from another place and they come in there and they want you to act like this player. And that becomes fraudulent. And guys see right through that. Des got his own style and he's a real, real dude. And so there's a lot of things that Dave Ragone, myself, we try to make things hard for him out here, best we can, in this kind of controlled environment of what I call a passing camp.
Right.
And get him to push the limits, because you got to make those throws in practice. Mm. Or, you know, you can card him up on a Friday, get in a game plan, and, you know, make him feel good, and all of a sudden that's not real. And we got to try that stuff now. So we're constantly pushing Des, and very excited about how he's coming along and the way he's working. So
when we talk about Des, because, you know, we're big fans, but again, we've got to see more of it. You've seen him. You're close to it. Does the college experience have any bearing on the pro experience? When you look, you drafted him for a reason, because he had so many starts and he had so many big games with Cincinnati. Did it have any bearing on why you picked him or why you believe in him?
Yeah, well, you've got a larger sample size. You know, there's always exceptions. I mean, you can play the what about game all day, but,
right,
you know, there's an old Bill Parcells things about having a certain number of starts. It goes back to what I was just talking about. Like, you can't simulate those reps. And a lot of times it's in the pocket. And the pockets aren't as – that's the one thing, too, in the college game, and this isn't a shot at anything. Like, some of those guys have 5, 6 Mississippi to throw the freaking football, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what happened? It's like, well, you know what? Their 13-0 line is probably better than your first defense, and they're just sitting back there. You know, that did feel like 7-on-7. And so that pocket can collapse in the NFL so fast. And guys that aren't used to having – you know, bodies at their feet, you know, having to move in the pocket, and they don't have all those reps over and over. I mean, it's fast, and it's still, you know, there is a transition, no matter if you played in a dirty pocket or not, but those reps matter. You got a longer sample size. You're more confident in what you're getting.
Coach, and Coach is going to be here with us for an hour, guys. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Flowery Branch. OTA is going on today. Unfortunate news about Avery, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I heard you say, you know, we've got a couple of options and whatnot in the return game specifically. And if you're just joining us, Avery, torn ACL, I guess it happened Friday, and he's having surgery this week. But I know you addressed it earlier today, and I just want to get your thoughts on, you know, the depth. Mike and I continue to talk about the depth. Adding depth to this team has been a big deal, and I think we've got more than we've had since you've been here. But talk about the injury, and then on top of that, you know, where are you at with the how you stack this team up and you and, you know, Terry Fontenot, how you've gone about building this?
Well, you know, with Avery, I mean, there was going to be competition. Obviously, Avery did a nice job, played a lot of multiple spots for us, you know, filled in on offense in different spots. The year before, he did it in defense, and he had a good year on the punt returns. And so it's unfortunate. But
we're talking about Avery Williams, guys, right, by the way. Go ahead.
And so with Avery, you know, you talk about the depth. There's other guys that can return punts that have done it. You know, Mike Hughes is a guy that's new to the program. Mike's got a history done in this league, you know, pretty successful in college. There's guys, Penny Hart did it at Georgia State. There'll be good competition. There's going to be competition for Avery, too. And we got a lot of confidence in Avery, and he'll be back, and confidence, you know, he'll take this obstacle and come back better. It's what's an unfortunate situation. But that's just a microcosm of where we feel the depth is, and in a lot of spots. I mean, you need everybody. I mean, you're going to play a long season, and if you don't develop that depth, everybody we have in our program, whether that's the 90th person or, you know, the highest paid person, we're gonna have a plan. We're going to coach as hard as we can, and because you need all those guys. I mean, there's too many times people think, oh, yeah, this guy's not going to be here, but really are. Reality is, I mean, you've got 53, you've got 16 practice squad. You're going to be relying on those guys at some point. Mm. And it may be a critical game in November and December. So we're big in the development, and our guys believe in it, and we've showed. We'll play a guy that's a college free agent over a guy that's a draft pick if they're not ready. Best guys are going to play.
Right. It is Arthur Smith with us, guys. And, you know, the imagination, we talked about this at length a couple seasons. Cordero Patterson is a guy that, you know, I mean, he's got to, you know, be excited because you found a niche for him that wasn't discovered in other spots in his NFL career, turned into a dynamic weapon. Now we talk about, you know, Tyler Allgeier, 1,000-yard rusher. You're bringing, we're going to get into the Bijan, how you guys selected. We'll get into that a little bit later this hour. But it just seems like you've got a lot of weapons. It seems like if you're a mad, you know, all coaches, you're a mad scientist. You've got a lot of weapons, you got more stuff to play with this year than you ever had in your NFL career as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you get caught up in the moment or recency bias, but you know, feel pretty damn good about where we're at, and we'll have some fun. Personally, we're expecting big things from CP,
right?
You know, so people forget about Cordero Patterson. You know, people, right, you know, get caught in the recency bias of, you know, Tyler and you know, obviously you draft Bijan, but they're all different players,
right?
And there you go. CP played a lot of roles for us in 21. And just out of necessity last year, I told you.
More with Arthur Smith coming up, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. 5 o'clock, you hear part two of that interview. We got some guy talk on the way. I want to remind you, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Mike, what do we have coming up?
Hey, man, Messi coming to the USA. Barcelona looking down its nose at MLS competition. And if you run the Belmont Stakes this Saturday, are they going to put gas masks on the horses? Coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Radio 92.9 The Game Sports Flash. Brought to you by Bader Scott Accident Attorneys. After an accident, don't wait. Dial 8. Call 404-888-8888.
I'm Caleb Johnson. This report is brought to you by the Fulton County Board of Health back-to-school vaccinations. Atlanta United had a late one last night on the road facing LAFC, who took it to the Five Stripes defense over and over again. Atlanta United managed just 4 shots in this match, while LA found 22 of their own. However, Brad Guzan managed to save 8 attempts, including a Carlos Vela penalty in the 73rd.
Vela standing inside the arc. Now he trots up to the ball, slowly strikes it. Save! Guzan has been unreal tonight!
Mike Conti on the call. Vela would get a second opportunity that was skied over the crossbar as Atlanta held on for their 4th consecutive draw in a 0-0 finish. The Braves go for a sweep over the Mets tonight after pulling off a 7-5 win yesterday for their 4th consecutive victory. Spencer Strider will face Justin Verlander for the 7:21st pitch. Today, the Braves reinstated right-hander Michael Tonkin from the injured list. Back to school season will be here before you know it. Get a head start on your child's immunizations with the Fulton County Board of Health. All recommended vaccinations are provided by the Fulton County Board of Health. Find a vaccination site near you online at FultonCountyBOH.com. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Caleb Johnson from the Kia Studios. On your home of Saturday's Atlanta United match versus DC United, kickoff at 7:30, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
For fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah! You want shenanigans? We're going to have shenanigans coming out of your butt. We're going to be at Willie B's, guys, over at Silverbacks Park tomorrow. Join the party, man. We're raising some awareness for soccer here in Metro Atlanta. We met with the dudes that are running this event, and it's really just a really cool way for you to help by drinking Bud Light, hanging out with us, getting involved with all the other things they're going to sell at the bar. And again, the proceeds are going to go help youth soccer so the kids don't have to pay for the soccer and all the different soccer arenas. I should say all the venues around town which these guys put together.
SoccerStreets.org. That is the website to learn more. Must be 21 plus, and please drink responsibly, as we will tomorrow with our friends with Soccer in the Streets and Bud Light. All right, that's going to be tomorrow, guys, 2 right. to 7. Come on out and join us.
Yeah, might need to crash at your house tomorrow after the show. Because I just did one of those things that I do from time to time. And usually...
Wait, what do you mean time to time?
You know, when I'm about to do something, make a purchase, and I turn to you, as if somehow you're the voice of reason. Because what, we maintain this.
What did you do now?
We maintain this sort of Gumby and Pokey. You know, I'm the Gumby, I'm the stupid, wacky one, and Pokey, that's Carl, because he's the voice of reason generally.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes he goes Gumby too.
What did you do?
I bought a brand new drum set. A real drum set.
You mean a real
like
drum
a real
set.
Doo-doom, doom, doo-doom, doom. Psh, yeah.
Wow. Can I ask how expensive this drum set was?
Merch.
I'm sorry?
Merch.
Are you serious?
It's five figures.
You just purchased this?
During the commercial break. Isn't technology amazing?
What are you going to do with this?
Okay, so I have an electronic kit. And you've seen the photos. If you see us when we work from home sometimes, or I'm posting photos from my office, I've got a plastic, you know, it's a nice electronic kit. But when you play it, it feels like you're playing Tupperware. I've got a gig in July. I'm actually playing with a band again.
Okay.
My buddy Ron is doing his big show at one of the country clubs down in Peachtree City. I'm going to be playing drums. So I figured, you know, I'm going to borrow somebody's kit. I want to get my own kit. So I got my own set.
So you just bought a drum set.
Cymbals. Now, I didn't buy the gong. I didn't go that far.
Yeah.
But I mean real acoustic doo-doo-doo-doo-doo drums.
Okay,
that my wife is now going to freak out over because it's loud. The whole neighborhood's going to hear.
Well, yes, Mike. I mean, usually you play the drums in a studio that's soundproof.
Yes.
Does your wife know this?
Well, if she's listening now, and she's generally watching, listening
judging,
she does know. So, Becky, this is the nice way of us kind of breaking the ice on the whole drum kit.
Oh, my goodness.
But the good news is, and there is a silver lining, my wife is the most improved golfer at the country club, and she plays a lot of golf. So when she's out on the links, I'll just be out there doing my thing.
I can't wait.
Now, all I got to do now is, and I'll reach out to, you know, our buddy Eric the Engineer. And we got to just find a way to get some old rugs and just sound, kind of do a grab-ass version of soundproofing.
Well, you've got a plan. I mean, come on. I mean, you just did this without telling your wife. Honey, I'm bringing a new drum set in.
There's nothing like... You know what it was? It was Monday or Tuesday. We had the meeting with the guys from the soccer thing.
Yeah.
And they have a real drum set on the 8th floor. And the last time I wailed on that set, it was right over WAOK and V103 Studios, and Reggie came running up. What the hell's going on? It just, there's nothing like playing the real drum. So there you go. So, honey, bought a real drum kit.
The only thing that'll be in the air tonight is Mike sleeping on the couch.
Listen, I used to make fun of him because when he lived in Midtown and he played these damn drums and he'd be like, what you think? And I get a picture of him playing the drums at like 1 a.m.
Right.
You know, so I'm glad that you are going to fulfill this need that you have.
Yes, I want it. I must have it. Hey, man, a lot of guys wanted Lionel Messi, one of the, if not the greatest soccer player to ever dress out. I mean, it all depends on where he falls in your order. But, you know, the greatest of the greats. I know some guys are Cristiano Ronaldo guys. I've always been a Messi guy. Well, Barcelona kind of looks down their nose at his move to the MLS in their communique, which has backfired, by the way. A lot of people taking shots at Barcelona. He could have gone back there. There's always some kind of intrigue with Barcelona. There's always, like, mysteries about how the money gets spent and the egos and all this. And he just basically said, I want to go to Inter Miami, play in South Florida. And they said, yeah, less pressure down there. Good for you.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to deal with the soap opera of Barca. And so, yes.
Well, he's been in it a long time.
Correct. And but he's only 35.
I know.
But this is, to a degree, some would look at as a feeder series to the elite, soccer leagues around the world. But for MLS, this is bigger than Beckham. This is bigger than when David Beckham went to the Galaxy. And the ticket prices, if you're an Atlanta United season ticket holder, holy shnikes. You're going north of $750 to $1,000, depending on where you're sitting, for that September 16th game. Which they're apparently going to go to 70,000 at Mercedes-Benz.
Well, I know they are. I mean, why wouldn't you when you're going to have arguably one of the biggest stars in the world coming in? This is not an everyday occurrence, so they're going to take advantage of it. But, Mike, every team that's left on the schedule for them is going to take advantage of this.
Right. You got to. We've got the ability to obviously nearly double the capacity because of how the stadium is set up. I think it's great. And good for Messi because you and I talked about this yesterday. For years, this was always kind of like the hope of hopes for Inter Miami. They could pull this off. But he actually did take a lot less money because, as you guys know, Saudi Arabia is offering $500 million, if not more, to some of the best soccer players in Europe right now.
Yeah.
Including the best in the world.
Well, so what do you think made this happen? Because, again, Apple's going to pay part of this, right?
Right.
They've cut a deal with him where he's getting salary from various entities.
Because the team alone can't do it.
No. And, you know, it's not like he's coming over here for cheap. They're paying him a lot of money, but it's coming from various sources. But what do you think it was that made him want to come, Mike? Just the idea of – because, again, is the soccer better over there? Yes, it is. So this is just more likely a ploy for him to get, you know, more exposure over here. I think they even gave him part of ownership in this deal.
Well, I mean, for him, you do have less stress. You walk, you just step on the pitch. You're the best player on the pitch, even at age 35.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's hard to imagine someone's going to hard tackle Messi. I mean, it's, come on. So this guy's going to have fun, but he will have it in a less stressful environment and still make a lot of money. And he's doing it on his own terms, which is good for him. So, look, the benefit is for South Florida, for it's going to be bananas. They're trying now to find ways where they can tweak the schedule so they can play at the Hard Rock as opposed to that temporary facility they have in Lauderdale.
Yeah, because it holds more folks. Right. This is where they profit a little bit more.
Hey, man, we talked to Pat Forty earlier in the week. Pat, in addition to being a college football and basketball guy, he's a big horse racing guy because he grew up in Louisville. Even Pat said he's got no interest in the Belmont Stakes. The Preakness was terrible. None of the horses ran, and all the different controversies have been plaguing the Triple Crown the last few years. Well, now we got a problem in New York because of the smoke from the Canadian wildfires. It looks like the horses might not be able to run at the Belmont because, obviously, they need some horse lung capacity to be shooting down that that track.
Yeah.
A mile and a half.
Mike, do they even run this race, though? Seriously, with all that's going on?
Right.
They're telling us, people, humans, not to be outside for long periods of time.
Right. I mean, what do you make it like World War I? They're going to put giant gas masks on the horses? Yeah. Now, come on. So it looks like maybe they'll postpone it. Not that anyone in the sporting world really gives a flip. Only 9 horses running in this thing. And to be honest, the reaction has been a bit lukewarm.
Mm.
Hey, one last nugget while we got time. You're not supposed to bet on football. You know this, right? If you're a football player, NFL-wise?
Yeah.
Well, just to help get the message across, Tom Brady is going to be delivering a message on a video that everybody is going to be watching around the NFL. NFL reached out to Tom Brady. He recorded a special message, an educational video for his players about the do's and don'ts of what you can do and where you can't do it and what you're not supposed to be betting on so you don't get suspended.
More coaches are saying they're talking about this at OTAs, which is what's going on with the Falcons, mandatory minicamp. They're having these conversations, which you would think they wouldn't have to. But, Mike, how much is this help coming from the GOAT? How much?
Big time. Yeah, I mean, I think if nothing else, I would think, you know, I mean, how many old videos when you were kids? Do you remember? Kids, we're going to watch a film strip. Everyone's got to pull out your Coleco pocket football or whatever. Okay, I'm dating myself. But hey, it's the GOAT basically said of the message. There's your guide talk. Don't forget, guys, Willie B's, if you're over in DeKalb, we never get out that side of Spaghetti Junction, so come by and see us tomorrow, 2 to 7. Chris, you going to be there?
Heck yeah.
Come meet Turtle. Bond with him and Dukes and Bell. We'll see you over there.
All right, guys, coming up, part 2 of our interview with Arthur Smith, part of our Falcon Report. We'll get back into the Braves as well. They're trying to finish off the Mets tonight. Great pitching matchup at the ballpark tonight. We'll get into that with Grant McCauley next hour as well. It's Dukes and Bell. Reminder, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.